With the Brooklyn Nets facing a would-you-rather situation when it comes to choosing between Kevin Durant and their front office, how about we play a would-you-rather Locked On NBA? Let's do it right now on the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On NBA podcast. So let me bring in our guy, Jake Madison, here. Thank you for making the show your first listen and part of your daily routine. Locked On NBA here for you every day, Monday through Friday, with rotating hosts. On Wednesdays, I am John Corrales, at John_Corrales on Twitter, and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast.
And I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. I almost forgot my Twitter handle right there as I was saying it, even though it's like the easiest thing ever for me to remember.
Sometimes I got to look at it and say, okay, I'm reading it. But I recently changed mine, so I have an excuse. You are without excuse.
Yeah, pretty much.
So today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. BetOnline is having a lot of fun with the Kevin Durant situation. Everybody's talking about the Kevin Durant situation. You can't go a week, even now that it's mid-August or approaching mid-August. You can't go more than a couple days without it coming up. Guys talked about it yesterday. And it's an interesting would you rather. So Jake came up with the idea, let's just do a whole episode of NBA would you rather. It's a very August type of episode to do. So let's just start with the Brooklyn situation, Jake. Kevin Durant put them at this point, put them at a crossroads and said, hey, look, he offered up this potential for him to stay, but he said, basically, the report is, if I stay, Sean Marks and Steve Nash got to go. So Jake Madison, would you rather choose Kevin Durant and fire those two guys or stick with your front office and coach and trade Kevin Durant?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? Because this is like literally the situation that the Nets are in. Like this is the game that they're playing, I guess, in the ownership with Joe Tsai. If it's would you rather Kevin Durant or Sean Marks and Steve Nash, this isn't even close to me. It's Kevin Durant. I would much rather Kevin Durant than those two guys. If it were, say, Kevin Durant and your whatever head coach or and GM, then maybe it would be different. If this was Popovich instead of Steve Nash or Spoelstra instead of Steve Nash, I'm probably picking the coach here. But look, Steve Nash hasn't proven anything as an NBA head coach to me, really. Sean Marks is probably somewhat replaceable, even though I think he's done a good job there. For those two guys, no, give me Kevin Durant every single time, particularly when you look at the situation the Nets would find themselves in, right, upon trading Kevin Durant. They don't own their picks, so you can't go through a tank and a rebuild, which, you know, as easy as you could somewhere else. And that kind of influences my decision on this. So when I look at kind of all of the factors here, look, given their situation, their circumstances, I'm taking Kevin Durant. I'm going to run it back and I'm going to try and win a title next year and see if I can get Ben Simmons playing and, you know, Kyrie to not be Kyrie.
I'm going to disagree on this one. And I know that this is a very easy thing for me to say as a person in a pod, you know, on a podcast sitting in front of a green screen. I don't even care about keeping Steve Nash. I think if I'm Steve Nash, I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I don't need this. I don't need to be going through this stuff. I don't want to suffer the indignation of being fired to appease this guy. I'm out. Like, I'm waiting for him to just pull that. Which I'm surprised.
That's a really interesting point though. Yeah. That like how, yeah, we don't even think about him in this. That's like a really great point of like, he should probably quit actually.
Yeah. I mean, I would, if I sat there, I was like, look, you know what? I'm going to make this easy for you guys. I'm out. I'm Steve Nash. I go back to Canada and work with Canada Basketball. I can go be a consultant somewhere again. I can make plenty of money. I've made plenty of money.
Yeah. He doesn't even need it.
I'll be fine, you know, and he can just chalk it up. This is a great out for him too, because he could just be like, hey, you know what? These guys are crazy. Look at what just happened. Look at, I didn't even have a chance with Kyrie. You want me? No one could control Kyrie. You want me to deal? And then Kyrie goes on his thing and our franchise takes a hard line stance And now Kevin Durant wants out because he had the last coach fired. He wants me fired. He's crazy too. That if I'm Steve Nash, I'm selling that every chance I get. And write a book. Write a book about it. Make money writing a book. Anyway, I'm a little off topic, but I'm taking Nash out of the equation because I think he should just walk out anyway. That leaves me with Sean Marks and Kevin Durant. And I'm not firing Sean Marks for Kevin Durant because Sean Marks has done everything that we've told him to do with the wink and the nod from Kevin Durant. You think Kevin Durant hasn't been on board with all of these personnel moves? You think Kevin Durant thinks that Sean Marks is a bad GM because of everything that he did prior to Kyrie and the stance that they took against Kyrie? No, he doesn't like Sean Marks because of the way they stood up to Kyrie, and now Kevin Durant is standing next to his friend. And hey, you want to say that's great? He's standing up for his friend. I think it's ludicrous that he's kind of standing up for this guy who has just willingly taken this franchise into the toilet. I say, fine. I am wiping my hands clean of this situation. I'm telling Sean Marks, who built a pretty fun team in Brooklyn prior to all this, I'm saying we're going to go get our draft picks. We're going to find a way to get draft picks for Kevin Durant. And then you get to rebuild again. I'm sorry. You can hire yourself a new coach. You can go rebuild this franchise. Let's just, I want to wash this stink off of the Brooklyn Nets and let's just start fresh.
So that's what it seems like Josiah is going to do, right? Like he's taking a very principled stance on this, which, you know, from one angle, I agree with, and I don't think that's necessarily the wrong thing to do. The problem is you got to try and win basketball games. That's kind of the goal here. And what does your team look like if you go that rather principled route, right? Is this kind of like, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face? And I think it is to a certain degree. So looking from that side of things, I'm like, no, try and run this back, keep Kevin Durant, get rid of these guys that ultimately don't matter. You know, and if Steve Nash makes it even easier for you and quits, like, cool, you're halfway there at this point. That's why I would keep him, because I just think you're in that awful NBA purgatory of play-in tournament team every single year, so you're not going to get a high lottery pick that makes rebuilding easy. And look, it goes to the Houston Rockets anyway. You're just in an awful spot, which they did to themselves. And so you've just got to try and kind of make the best of this and become as good as quickly as possible, and that's with Kevin Durant, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you still... Basically, what you're choosing when you do this is you're choosing to trust Kyrie. That's what you're choosing. You're choosing to run it back with Kevin Durant and Kyrie. And that's where I can't put my faith in that. Even if I say, okay, Kevin Durant has fallen off the deep end and I don't like his attitude and whatever. And I do, that's where I personally fall on this. I really don't like the way he's going about it. But fine, he's a grown man, he handles his business how he wants to handle his business. And you say, maybe if you really try and you force him to come back and play, he'll play and he'll play well because he's a pro. You know, say what you want to say. When he hits the floor, he's not going to loaf. I don't think he's going to do that. But you're still leaning on Kyrie. To win a championship in Brooklyn, you need Kyrie. And, oh, by the way, you need Ben Simmons.
Yeah, you haven't even mentioned him yet.
You're going to fire Sean Marks, who I think is good at his job. I don't even know if he's any good. I'll be honest. I don't even know what kind of coach he is, but clearly this has run its course with Steve Nash. He should go. You're still saying, okay, we're cleaning house. Okay, Kevin, whatever you want. Now here's Kyrie and here's Ben Simmons. And that's your championship run. I think you're bending over too far backwards. Your spine is going to come through your sternum the way you're bending over, because you're capitulating to not just Durant, but these other guys that there's just no, you don't know if, and meanwhile, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly are all at least as good or better than these guys coming into the season until Ben Simmons and Kyrie show that they can play well, play the whole season, and prove otherwise.
Let me ask you this in the short term. What's the difference between your option of trading them and how bad that team's going to be, and then it all just kind of combusting, but trying it with them in the first place, right? Like, don't you end up kind of in the same place just without the other team's draft picks that you would have from trading him?
I look at it as you're it's the beginning of setting a culture. It's the beginning of, you know what?
That's a good point.
We're just not going to be that team. It's one thing to talk to your stars and say, hey, what do you think? You think you can play with this guy? And like, yeah, you know, get a yes, get a no, or get some feedback. But it's another to completely give in to their whims and then have that still backfire. And I would rather be the team that says, you know what? I'm sorry, KD, you're out. We're sticking to the structure that we have. Because then the next guy that comes in with Joe Tsai and Sean Marks knows, well, damn, if KD couldn't break this, then I can't break this. I better fall in line. You're starting this culture where we all got to be on the same page. And if we're all on the same page, then we can get through our differences. I would rather be that team and maybe get whatever I can for Kevin Durant than be the team that bends over backwards. Kevin Durant, you know, everything falls apart again, and now you have to trade everybody, or Kyrie walks. And now you're in a shambles, and you know that the next star that comes in there can go to Joe Tsai and be like, I want it done my way. And I know you're going to bend.
It's a really good point, but I'll be honest. I'm a little sick of talking about Kevin Durant. So I've got another, would you rather here?
Okay.
Would you rather, this is from Reddit. If you've never looked at the Reddit, would you rather page? It's pretty fun. Would you rather have hiccups for the rest of your life or constantly feel like you have to sneeze?
Oh, geez.
It's just brutal, isn't it?
I would rather, God, that's because if the constant feeling of having to sneeze, you want that payoff. So yeah. I'd be like doing lines of pepper. I still think I'd go with the sneeze. I feel like I could at least get used to it. The hiccups are just, that's just brutal. That's torture.
They hurt at times, man. Like, they actually like are physically painful.
People have these, like, when I was working in news, we'd done stories on people who like can't stop hiccuping, and the guy's like, please kill me. Like, they're just, I can't take this anymore. Yeah, that's brutal. I would go with the sneezing thing.
Which one are Brooklyn Nets fans right now?
I think they're at the please kill me stage.
Yeah, I definitely think this is like at the hiccups of like, this just ends.
They definitely have the hiccups. Every season has been full of hiccups for the Brooklyn Nets. Let's come back. We'll do another would you rather. How about let's go to the other coast and get LeBron James. We'll talk about a LeBron would you rather. I know I would rather go to betonline.net if I want to bet on where Kevin Durant is going to land. They've been having fun with those odds. I know that the Boston Celtics, the team I cover, have been heavily involved in that, but you can bet on that over there at betonline.net. I know the Celtics are the favorites for Kevin Durant right now. If he switches teams, I'll push back on that, but the bettors, the Vegas, the people at BetOnline, that's where they fall. So it's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, combat sports, esports, golf, obviously the NBA. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information. They have live in-game betting. Obviously, you're going to see the scores. You're going to see podcasts. They have you covered for everything. So head on over to BetOnline today. You can use your mobile device to do so and learn about the action happening right now. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Hey, thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. We got team podcasts. It's your team every day here in the Locked On Podcast Network. Team podcasts covering the entire league. I was just on the Locked On Knicks podcast talking about the Donovan Mitchell situation, giving them some of my Danny Ainge expertise. You go to Locked On Nets. You can go to Locked On Lakers to talk about LeBron James. And we're going to talk about LeBron James right now. I have a would you rather for you, Jake. This has been a topic of conversation His son, Bronny, he was just working out with two of his sons. Everybody's out there dunking. This is, I think, is a really fun thing to be able to do. It's like, get the boys. Let's go to the Lakers practice facility and just start hanging on the rim, doing some chin-ups. This is really fun. So LeBron has said he wants to play with Bronny. And there's some talk about his extension. He's having current talks. This is a current topic. If LeBron becomes a free agent, if he structures it where he becomes a free agent, and you're a team maybe on the higher end of wherever Bronny is mocked, right? So if you're, let's just pretend. I have no idea how good he is going to be.
Yeah, this is important for this, actually.
This is important. This is, let's say he's mocked in the lower third, 20 and lower.
Okay.
And you're a team at 10, 11, 12, higher. You're higher than whatever the consensus is. Would you rather pick the player that is the consensus at the time, the player that whoever is the best player available, or would you take Bronny in an effort to lure LeBron James and get a couple of years of LeBron, even at the tail end of his prime, to get LeBron as an elevated role player on your team?
This one's tough. Like, this one's tough, and there's so many kind of like variables and factors into this one, right? Like, if he's a second round pick, let's say, and you're drafting in the top 10, like, you can't do it, right? Like, I would have to say no. We've seen LeBron is, I'm not calling him Wash King here, but losing a step to a little bit of a degree, I think, and that's worried me. He's been a little bit less durable than he seemed in the past, so some of that kind of shine of invincibility is coming off. But honestly, if you're picking 15 and you think Bronny should go 25th overall to get him and LeBron, I'd probably do it, to be perfectly honest. Like, that doesn't, you know, you've seen moves like that all the time, right? Josh Primo going in the top 10, I think, to the San Antonio Spurs 2-3 years ago was a big surprise. We've seen moves like that happen and ends up being okay. To get LeBron as, like, potentially, say it's the Pelicans, right? Where you have Zion, Brandon Ingram, CJ, to be able to draft Bronny at, say, 15, and get LeBron and add it to that team, and LeBron is like your fourth starter, your third starter. Like, yeah, I'll draft Bronny knowing that maybe he washes out of the league in a couple of years, but at least I've kind of maximized my window there. But once you start to get past kind of that like 10 pick range is when I'd start to get a little bit nervous about this, right? Like, I wouldn't take Bronny in the top five if he's a guy that's supposed to go in the second round. Like, not a chance would I do something like that, no matter, even with LeBron, you know, with his age right now. So that worries me, but probably 10 picks or so. Again, I think like 15 and 25 there. Like, yeah, I definitely do that for, especially for like a team that wants to make a big leap to being competitive right away. You do it immediately then.
Yeah. I think there are a couple of scenarios where it would actually be a no brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm just looking at the Celtics, right? I cover the Celtics. If the Celtics were able to get a pick in that Bronny draft, say they swung a trade where they gave up a first round pick, they acquired a first round pick, and that pick happened to land in the 15 range. I think a contending team, a team that's good, that suddenly can say, hey, look, we're going to take a swing, LeBron, we're going to take a swing, we're going to pay your kid. We're going to reach and pay your kid. Come on over. We'll give you whatever money we have, taxpayer mid-level, whatever it is.
That's the key, right? Like, if you're giving him a max deal, LeBron, like, no, I'm not going to do that, right?
Right.
If he's taking a very team-friendly deal, like, sign me up for $10 million per year, LeBron James.
I can see that happening with a team that finds its way into the middle of the draft, but is good. You know, that can say, wow, if we can go one extra player deep and it's LeBron, and hey, who knows? Maybe Bronny hits. Maybe he becomes a role player. Who knows? The other team I can think of is a team like this year's Memphis team, or maybe last year's Memphis team. Young, good team that is kind of dangerous, kind of has a lot of talent, but doesn't have that veteran leadership. And LeBron at that stage, you say, let's, if we can get LeBron in here for this good young team to be the veteran leader, a team that he might not normally go to, but if we've got Bronny and he's going to come play with his son, then maybe that's the way we get our star, or at least veteran legend, to come in for a couple of seasons and say, you're going to be, you know, whatever you are at the end of your career, but you're also going to be like team dad, and they're all going to learn all of these championship habits from you.
That's kind of interesting. So he would come in 2024, right? That's the Bronny draft class. We assume that'll be.
There's a reclassification in there somewhere where he might be later, but I think that's the one.
Yeah, that's, let's say it's like that, right? Like, what about a team like OKC, who at that point should be kind of a couple years into the
team.
Right? Like, there, I think if you do this, if you're them, it's a really interesting kind of like thought exercise, because in theory, it seems like LeBron would never play for OKC, right? Like, I think we can safely say something like that. But they have enough draft capital that, like, wasting a pick for them, do they really care about that? Like, no. Like, they can afford to blow a draft pick on Bronny James to bring LeBron to a team with Chet, SGA, some of the other interesting young guys that they have. And, like, is that enough to entice him there, too, right? Like, let's test truly how interested he is here,
how,
and
like, send really a message there with to your the son league. Okay, let's
right?
go.
Oh god, okay, C fans, Ryland's gonna be like, you're a jerk, Jake. It's interesting though, right? Because they're in a position where it's like, yeah, what's a draft pick to them for the chance to get LeBron James on a team friendly deal? Like, they have no concern about doing something like that. To them, it's a no-brainer. They might even draft him if they think he could be in the second round, right? Like, that's a team that, if you want to take it a step further, that would massively do it. If it's a 30 pick swing, could do something like that.
What about Houston? Houston could be in that same boat. Houston may be a little accelerated. And Houston's a bigger city, maybe a place where the people might say, you know, LeBron, okay, yeah, Houston Rockets. There's a good lineage there historically in the Houston Rockets. Like, yeah, why not there? I think that could be a fun choice too.
Yeah, that's an interesting one to kind of think about, actually. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of scenarios where I would absolutely do this, and I think it's pretty much a no-brainer.
All right. I think we're right on with that. All right, let's come back. Let's wrap up the show. We're going to rapid fire some fun would you rathers on the NBA. And we'll try to stop whatever it is that's making me cough so violently. Luckily, we have this mute button, Jake. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to come back. We're here to wrap up the show here. If you have difference of opinion, just if you're watching the show on YouTube, put them in the comments. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think about these would you rathers. Jake, this was your idea. You need like cards. You need like the the game show cue card. You have a few. Let me start you off with one. Would you rather? It's kind of playing off of the first segment. Would you rather start a team with a great GM and a mediocre head coach, or a mediocre GM and a great head coach?
Oh, I've seen like both sides of that in New Orleans, right? Like, great head coach in Willie Green right now. Also seeing what damage a mediocre GM and Dell Demps can do to a franchise around a star player and not make it work. Give me actually the great GM. I think the coaches are important with culture, and like I've started to really, really value that. But man, a bad GM will mean your star player wants to leave, and who cares about a good culture at that point? You need players to win in this league.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I wasn't sure where I was going to go. I asked the question. I feel like a good coach can raise the value of the players, and even a mediocre GM can be like, oh, well, that's if teams are interested in these guys, I can make these moves.
Dell Demps got DeMarcus Cousins. That's saying something.
Yeah, I feel like... I mean, either way, one of these guys can be fired and replaced. But I think it's funny you're coming at this from your perspective of you've had bad GMs and you've seen guys want to leave. I'm coming at it from the perspective of I've just seen what Ime Udoka has done to this franchise and how important having everybody on the same page is. I just believe that if you can get a team on the same page playing with effort in the NBA, that says a lot So I'm going to go with the coach.
I've got I've got a tremendous one for you.
Hit me.
Would you rather all songs exist, but they are performed by Pitbull, or only one Pitbull song exists, but it's performed by every artist with their own cover interpretation?
I will go. It's so funny that you say this, because I was going to, I drove down to the Connecticut Sun. I get a ticket package to the Connecticut Sun, and I'm about an hour or so away from Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut. So I go down there, and as I was driving in there the last game, there's a big sign, Pitbull coming to Mohegan Sun. I was just like, I just had this groan. I'm like, oh God. Now, hey, some people like Pitbull. That's great. That's fine. He has a place. He has a place in the party. That's fine. I'm going to go with the one Pitbull song sung by all the different artists, because I think enough people can give me an interesting take on the song where it sounds like a bunch of different songs rather than the same Pitbull, because every Pitbull song sounds the same. No matter what the words are, he just makes it all the same.
I think that's the right answer. Like, give me Fireball performed by like every person ever who's done music, which at least would be like a lot of variety to it, right?
Yeah.
Man, whoever came up with that one is an absolute maniac to come up with something like that.
We've taken the turn past the NBA, and we're just going into would you rather's, just fun would you rather's. All right, good. You got the screen up there. Go ahead.
We can go back to another NBA one.
Okay,
here's another one. I got one or two NBA ones for you too. Okay.
Let's go.
Would you rather have chopsticks for hands or office chair wheels for feet?
Oh, the wheels.
Easily, right?
The wheels, right?
It's like you're permanently roller skating. Like,
yeah, of course. I mean, it's going to be tough going downstairs, but you can manage. You can figure it out.
Chopsticks for hands sounds so do they just like replace your fingers and you've got like five chopsticks on every hand, or is it like one stick on each hand?
That would be the most docile Freddy Krueger in the world. Five chopsticks for hands. I don't know. Like, do you have like two chopsticks? Like, I'd have to just, I mean, would they be easy to shovel the food into my, basically shovel food into my mouth anyway. Maybe that's the way I want to go.
Imagine trying to eat like pizza with chopsticks.
I mean, you can do it. It's not easy. You can still grab the crust. You can still grab at the crust. Chopsticks are, you get the good leverage on there. You can get right into the middle of that crust. You can actually fold that. You have to like pull it up a little bit, but yeah, you can make it work.
Yeah, I guess it's like the chair wheels for feet. Like, that's not even a question in my opinion. Here's an NBA one. Would you rather, it's game 7 of the NBA finals. You're down 2, time's running out. Would you rather Steph Curry take the shot or Damian Lillard take the shot? It's got to be a 3, let's say.
Yeah. I'm going Dame. I think Dame has that next. Steph has the higher percentages, obviously. He's hit some big shots. But Dame has, I just trust that no matter what, that Dame is actually hitting that shot. Steph has missed plenty of those too.
Right. It's called Dame time for a reason. Mike Richmond would be doing this on the show, right? Like, it's got a hand motion for how kind of clutch he comes in those type of situations. If we were, I'd probably pick him too. If we were doing it where the guy doesn't have to take the shot, but like he's going to have the ball in his hands, I probably would give it to Steph because of the court gravity, right? Like, and how you've got to kind of defend him there. But that's kind of getting away from the question.
But also, you're giving the ball to Steph because he plays on the Warriors. And when he gives up the ball, he's giving it up to Draymond, who's going to hit Clay in the corner. Like, I'd rather, if it's just who do you want with the ball in your hands, then it's Steph, because people are going to flock to him and they have better teammates. If you know it's going to be somebody taking the shot, it's Dame to me, because he just always, he finds a way. He still has the range. He just finds a way. I can't say it any other way. He finds it.
No, I'm with you. It's definitely, I think, Damian Lillard in like that type of situation here. All right. For us, because sports people are known for not dressing well, would you rather be chronically underdressed or overdressed?
Oh, underdressed. I don't want to dress up for anything. I never want to dress up for anything.
So you'd be comfortable going to like weddings and things like that, and you're going to be underdressed every single time.
Yes, 100%, because I feel like my attitude and my personality can make up for it. All you got to do is own it. All you got to do is own it. You know?
I shouldn't laugh.
I'm being very serious about my stellar personality and my magnetic charm. I'm being horribly serious about this. No, I do think, though, no matter what you dress, we've seen like fashion icons look objectively ridiculous, but because that's their look, people go, yeah, but he pulls it off. I mean, look at Prince. Prince was awesome. Prince was a god. He dressed in things where only Prince could wear that stuff. And like,
but what was he wearing? Coats, kind of fun, like dress shirts
blouses?
With like,
I mean, he was,
that's the definition of overdressed, right?
Yeah. But he could wear whatever he wants. Like I say, your attitude, whatever you wear, if I'm walking in this, I'm wearing just a black V-neck shirt. If I'm wearing a black V-neck shirt, basketball shorts and sneakers to a wedding, people are going to be like, well, that's just John's look. It's just John's thing. Rather than having a tux.
I don't think that's all they're going to be saying.
I don't care about the other stuff. But I'm also not meeting you when I go to New Orleans. I'm not meeting you for drinks on a balcony in a tuxedo.
Like in the summer.
Like, okay, dude, really? Like this I'd rather be seen as a little bit sloppy than a little bit pretentious.
It's all also coming from a guy who came to visit me and wore a red dress.
I wore a dress.
So did I. So
it hugged my curves very well.
That's actually this weekend.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah, it is. First time. The
red dress run was fun, and for people like we're not joking. There's a whole thing in New Orleans where everybody, men, women, you put on a red dress. Some people run the race. Some people don't. That was ungodly hot. That was like 100-degree day.
Oh, it was brutal. That was brutal, but that was fun.
Through with like heat stroke and stuff.
Yeah, and then we just sat at a couple bars for 10 hours that day.
Yeah, karaoke. It was a great night.
That was fun. Okay, so we should wrap up soon before they fire us for basically not talking NBA on the Locked On NBA podcast.
Yeah, it's August.
It's the middle of August. All right, final one. Or unless you've got one after this. This is basketball related. So would you rather get posterized by LeBron James or more or less some sort of like kind of role player? Let's go with ninth or 10th man on a team.
Sure. Like a guy who's coming in.
Mozgov. So LeBron James or Mozgov, since he was on the reverse end of that.
Sure. I mean, I guess I'd rather it be LeBron, because at least that's where it's supposed to happen. Like I get posterized by LeBron, I think the takeaway is, well, yeah, LeBron posterized you, but at least you had the balls to go up there and challenge it. Whereas you go up to challenge Mozgov, you kind of should be blocking that shot. If I'm of the ability to get up to that point where I feel like I can challenge that, I should get a hand on the dunk from Mozgov, where LeBron cocking it way back, I feel like, you know, he can catch me and in the end, you just add me to the list, you know, add me to the list of bodies, and it's no surprise.
You almost swayed me on this one. I was going to go with kind of like a role-playing guy. Like the one with Mozgov is going to go away quicker, and people won't remember that one nearly as much. And so you kind of get over the embarrassment quicker, but it's still like you're going to see that on like a random like top 100 dunks on something on YouTube, and like you're going to be there getting wrecked by this guy that you should not be getting wrecked by, and that's definitely not what you want.
Yeah.
So like, I kind of agree with you now. What if it's LeBron's all-time best dunk and it's you on the receiving end? Does that change it?
No. It'll still be LeBron. Again,
it's going to be played all the time.
Sure. But again, I still would rather be the guy that had the sack to go up and try to challenge than make the business decision and be like, hey, you know, he tried. He got killed. You know, we sent flowers to his family. But
yeah, everyone showed up in a black V-neck t-shirt, basketball shorts, and sneakers because they were chronically underdressed.
That would be very appropriate for my funeral. Yeah, that's where I would go. Because you know what's going to happen is at least you can prepare yourself for the barrage of LeBron. Like, hey, it's just what it is. you know, eventually people will interview you and want to do the story and you kind of have some fun with it. You'd be like, yeah, you know, I thought I could get, but what would happen with the Mozgov one is you'd be randomly surfing Twitter, like do, 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 do. And all of a sudden you go, oh man, why did this person people would say, would make a joke about Mozgov being like, oh, the Lakers. Remember when the Lakers, you know, blew all that money on Mozgov? And someone would be like, yeah, but at least he did this. And you, oh, why?
He just murdered poor Jake Madison on some random dunk. Yeah.
Yeah.
You swayed me on this one.
I don't want the strays, the catching the strays. At least I know, like, hey, you know, it is what it is. LeBron caught me. It's a fun story. Yeah. I can make my living in that little shadow of getting a little bit of money for the being in the, yeah, I'm the guy LeBron dunked on. Come meet me at the NBA All-Star weekend in the way back corner. Autographs from the guy LeBron dunked on.
Yeah. Okay. You swayed me. I'm with you. I initially was on the other side, but yeah. Okay. LeBron, you can dunk on me.
All right. What if it's Bronny? Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Thank you to everybody for listening. Fun August show. Would you rather? I would rather you subscribe than not subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. Ah, how about that? You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, free daily, wherever podcasts exist. Catch the show on YouTube. Rotating hosts all week long and on Wednesdays. I'm one of the two regular co-hosts, John Corrales. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. Don't know what I do. And you can find me on Twitter at John_Corrales.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Nola Jake.
Let's wrap this up. Thanks, everybody. See you next week right here. Locked On NBA Wednesdays, your team every day.